Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this 17th day of February 2019 as we take a look at commentaries. Yes, I get comments from people who have read my commentaries. We'll talk a little bit about them and what a commentary is, but before we get started, I'm going to thank all of my sponsors who make this radio program possible. If it were not for their donations, their monthly and quarterly support, you and I would not be together in this moment here on radio. And I look at it as a rare and blessed privilege to be in your life in this way. And I want to thank them. And I hope that some of you listening to my voice will also join and help us sustain our radio program through your tax-deductible gifts by becoming a sponsor. A sponsor is someone who donates either quarterly, four times a year, or is kind enough to do a monthly donation of $25 or more. And for these donations that all pour into radio and TV and everything that I do that allows me to go to hospice and do my work there, you receive some beautiful gifts. The message of the month, of course, being one of the major gifts. After the message of the month comes the commentaries, podcasts, and video casts, and you have access to over 120 of my TV discourses that I made over the years on various subjects, all the subjects that are on the website at aspire.org with my TV programs. Nobody likes you anyway, hey? A Life Worth Living. The one I did on violence, personal violence, We Know Not What We Do. One of the most powerful of all the series I did. Passing Through the Fires, another one that I did. There are many there, over 120, and they're all yours. You can download them, listen to them when you want, as you want. They're all there to be of service to a part of you that I think gets neglected and forgotten very quickly. So that's that. I hope you will join us. Go to the website at aspire.org and just take a look at why support Aspire. It will tell you everything you needed to know about donations and their tax deduction. You will be sent a receipt for your income taxes every time you make a donation. It's all there for you to be of service. Years and years ago, I decided I wanted to do commentaries. A commentary is something that is very special to me. I work on commentaries 7 days a week. And the reason I do them is because part of them, I feel, is a therapy for me, okay? It just is. It's something therapeutic about writing them. The other thing is, and I know this is going to sound really stupid, but I'm sure you'll understand. Stupider things have passed through my lips. There are certain people in this world who are looking earnestly for an authentic spiritual practice. They're looking earnestly to awaken, very earnestly. These people are far and few between. And though they are far and few between, I still think that they're extremely important to me. And I was one of those people. I understand the rigors of an authentic spiritual practice. I understand the difficulties of an authentic spiritual practice. I recognize how important an authentic spiritual practice is. Some people like to believe that they can do it without a teacher. It cannot be done. No matter what, you have to have a teacher. And your relationship with that teacher is one of the most important relationships you will ever have. And I'll tell you why. Because if that person, such as myself, is authentic and has passed through the fires of the things that I write about, you will soon see that this person isn't a person at all. They're a guide. And they will be the only person in your entire life that ever truly loved you. You may think your family, your friends all love you, but you will find in the end it is the spiritual teacher will be the only person that ever really loved you. My students don't know this, but it is true. So what I try to do is show what the rigors are, how to correct them, and what to do about them, so you don't sit there and think to yourself, well, none of this is working. I've heard this 1,000 times. So if it's not working, can't be true. I try to show you your part in it, the delusions and illusions we pass through, the arduousness of our society that we live in, and how cruel and foolish it is, and how to overcome all of that. That's a commentary. It's a lot. And they can be very powerful to some, and to others they look like, well, they're ridiculous. But nonetheless, here we go. First one comes from Sid. He lives in Ontario, and he says this, California. I've read one of your commentaries that was given to me by one of your students. Why are they so negative, Sid? Sid, it is your perception that makes them negative. First of all, let me say this to you. Most people are not interested in the spiritual path at all. They don't have any sense of the gravitas of it, the importance of it at all. So therefore, it doesn't have a great deal of merit in their life. It doesn't warrant a lot of time or a lot of effort. It just doesn't warrant it because, I mean, it doesn't put food on your plate, and it doesn't make your orgasms longer. It doesn't make you a richer person. It doesn't make you a better cook or a better this or that that you want maybe to be. It will make you conscious. Then you might be a kinder, more generous person, which could be very powerful in this world. It could be very important for you to be this kind of person eventually. So less than none and nonetheless, all of these things being said, it isn't that important on your priorities. So anything I might say to help you might sound to your ears like a criticism. Now, if I were teaching you the absolute, shall we say, silence that would be the most important aspect of meditation and inner work, you might find it to be very harsh, because silence is everything. And what you and I have to do to become silent is pretty powerful and requires a great deal of focus and energy. In doing so, there's a lot of sacrifice. And in your unconscious mind, you don't want to make those kind of sacrifices. You don't want sacrifice, not at all. Sacrifice is not something you're much interested in. So a lot of what I say in order to help you, the medicine that I try to give you or offer to you, cannot be forced down your throat. It has to be willingly taken by you. Sounds to your ears, your beliefs, your pretenses as being very negative, and I understand this. If you look at the teachings of the Buddha or Jesus, Lao Tzu in his beautiful, precious Tao, you will begin to understand that they too sound negative because they go counter culture, they go counter society. And in our society, we have set forth patterns and beliefs and stereotypes and prejudices and assumed realities, assumed illusions that we like to believe are real. And we think that they are all important. Everything must be in kind of a synchro mesh with them. But that's not the way. So a lot of the times when a person reads a commentary for the first time or is not really wanting to read a commentary, you know, it's passed to them like yours was from one person to another who was interested in it, and you read it and you go, well, I don't get it. This sounds very negative. we are, shall I say, anti-spiritual. We live contrary to the laws that exist here on earth. Why do you think the earth is crumbling before our very feet? We've destroyed it. We have. Environmentally, we've destroyed it. We have, since our onset of our existence here on earth, we have done nothing but war with each other. Why do you think all of this is happening? Do you think there's some neutrality we can come to through compromise, through negotiation? We've been doing this for thousands of years. It doesn't work. So when I am talking in a commentary about something that is integral to, let's say, inner peace or spiritual awakening in some way, and you take it as negative, you can know, Sid, you're a part of this problem. Because it doesn't make sense to you, or it doesn't sound right to you, or whatever. How do you gauge that? Through your emotionality? Your emotions, do I provoke through the commentaries, emotions in you that make you feel hapless, hopeless, helpless? Probably so. The answers that we need are not contained in our humanity. It's not contained in our idea of DNA and genetic heritage. Can't be done that way. It has to go higher, deeper, further. And we don't go higher, deeper, further. We try to negotiate our way to peace. We try to buy our way into happiness. And these things are not going to work. There is no truth, justice in this country or in any country that I know of. Maybe there's one out there that does things differently. I don't know. But I can tell you this, the way we're going isn't going to change. You know, the real question is about the whole idea of the meaning of our life. Sid, I don't know you at all. So, you know, I'm throwing darts here in the dark, but evidently this isn't your cup of tea. And what am I to say? You know, you can't make a person see the light. You just can't. I've been doing this work for over 47 years with students, and I can tell you, you can't bring them to the light. They have to walk through that door themselves. And as a teacher, I've tried very diligently to do it, but people don't want to be taught. They really don't. Deep inside every one of my students is the personal resentment, even hatred for me, for the work I've offered them, how I've tried to help them. They don't like it because it goes contrary to their will, their egotistical will. So all I meet is opposition. And I understand where you're at with all of this. Sid, thank you for your candid email. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question, Sal. Sid, Sal. That's interesting. Anyway, Sal lives in Los Angeles. I've read one of your commentaries. What is the purpose of showing us how utterly different it is to be spiritual in a world that doesn't believe in spirituality? Sal. Well, my work is up for interpretation. I understand that. And it's based on your own speculation, okay? Your own subliminal speculation. Subjectiveness, as it were. That's really not what I'm doing. When I write a commentary, it is not for the sake of trying to be different or to show what a spiritual life is as compared to maybe a human life. I am showing you the difference between living as a human being, a sapien, rather than living from the spiritual heart. And what is the purpose of that? To show you the purpose of that. It's really quite clear. It isn't very difficult to understand. And I don't understand. When I read your email, I thought, you know, this guy's not getting it. he really doesn't understand. We're not a great people. Don't think we are. Said, we're really not. We fly off the handle in hate and in fear so quickly. It is the place that we find a hut to live in within ourselves. We are always in that DNA defensive modality. We're never doing the things we could be doing that would serve each other and humankind. We don't understand our karma. We don't understand the laws that abide here on this planet, what make them so important. We don't understand diddly squat. And we don't want to. We want to be entertained. Entertained and entertained and entertained. And we don't care at what price the entertainer pays for that. These entertainers, lots of them, they just need adoration. And they do everything they do for the sake of adoration. And most people do whatever they do for the sake of approval and adoration. They don't do it out of love, real love. They just don't. So because we're not this noble bunch of people with human attributes that one would say are noble in themselves or virtuous, they're not. Everybody's looking out for themselves. What's in it for me? 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 And if a person can't understand what's in it for me, and they don't think that that what's in it for me is enough for their adoration and their comfort and maybe even their what they think of as their security, they won't do it. So we learn the hard way. Sal, we learn hard, and we're about to learn even harder in our environment. You guys listen to people like Rush Limbaugh, people like that who just don't know, but they are the opinion of the masses, and the masses love to hear the noise of their own opinions being uttered by people who have basically the balls to do it and to have a following that would make them believe that they are right, because we believe that rightness is found in numbers. And this is just foolishness. There are very few people who can follow a spiritual path, an authentic one, very few. You have to be devoted and dedicated. You have to feel the way, the truth, and the light within you. You have to sacrifice your own opinions and willfulness for the sake of a cause that in human perspective has absolutely no payback, has no reward. There's no adoration for being spiritual. To be authentically spiritual is to be authentically odd. I think of myself as the Wizard of Odd. And I teach things that most people would not teach. I offer things that are transformational. I try to help people at hospice and the hospital and all the things I do. I do many more that I will not mention here on the radio to help those who are having difficult times. I do help humanity. But at the same time, I am much more interested in what causes humanity to be so human and then how to transcend it. We are never going to change humanity. Sal, we will never change it. It is always going to be this way. There is no nirvana in humanity. There is none. There absolutely is none. We have to transcend it. And we transcend it through kindness, compassion, generosity, forgiveness, and living consciously. And those things are very different from the sapient mentality that is only looking to survive. So that's why I write the commentaries. They're for very few people. As Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Very few. This is a world that incarnates people, entities, that are very much prone to self-destruction and don't care who they take down in that self-destruction to gain whatever it is they believe they want. It is a very painful, painful experience to be a human. And it hurts. But we don't change it because we don't transcend. And if you think this practice, this life, is about getting what you want and making nirvana here on earth some kind of Camelot, you're wrong. Good does not last long here. Good lives eternally within us all. And that's what the commentaries are about, to help you come to that place. Sal, thank you for your comments. I was very interested in what you had to say. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Jim. He does not tell me where he lives. I've read a few of your commentaries, and I think they're interesting. Why don't you make a book from them, Jim? Jim, no publisher in their right mind would publish what I write. They couldn't. They wouldn't make any money. Remember, publishing is about money. It's about making money. In the old days, in the 50s and 60s, even before then, way before then, maybe in the 30s, 20s, books were published on the fact of their nobility. They were published for the sake of they should be published. And though there would be very few people maybe that would read them, they were published as a way of the publisher making a statement about what is important and what should be considered that is off the charts as far as humanity is concerned. Real good spiritual work would never be published. How could it be? How could it be when it goes against the fiber and the grain of the society and even the culture we live in? It just couldn't be published. So the reason being is that who would read it? Who would buy it? No one. Very few. And that would be because our society has deteriorated. Our world, our whole ebb and flow here of human beings is going down, 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 down. Spirituality, authentic spirituality, is now considered an app on your phone. That's what it is, an app on your phone. One of my students was told by a coworker, well, I meditate too. I have an app. And they think that apps will do it. It takes a lifelong spiritual effort. It takes a lifelong effort to do this kind of work. And most people simply can't and won't do it because it asks too much of them. And they don't see what the payoff is. They don't see what they'll get for their giving. And it isn't really giving. So there you are. The reason I don't submit is because no one would buy it. And I understand why. I really do understand why. That's just the way it works. I did two books earlier in my career. And, you know, they were good books, but they were not so good. And I was never truly happy with them, but they are what sold. And that's what the publisher wanted, and that's what the publisher got. Whenever I've submitted anything ever, that was anything of depth, Jim, it never went, because that's where we are now. We have to have a lot of explosions, and we have to have a lot of intrigue and death and all that other stuff, sex, you know, in our movies. And so people kind of are inoculated in that, and they don't really see it for what it is and what we've done to ourselves through entertainment. It's really, really kind of sad. I'm out of here. Thank you for your question, Jim. Thank you all for listening. please, please know how grateful I am that I have your ear for this 25 minutes or so. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.